You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura and the notorious VIC Vic Carucci, a man who declared with such unbridled passion and enthusiasm that it's hard not to get caught up in it that the Browns could make the playoffs this year.
Whoa. I gave somebody a little birthday gift by saying
that. Do you see that? Dino, all he's saying is could. Every team in the NFL right now could make
not
the playoffs.
Not would. We're not, listen, I'm not archiving this show and saying at 2:12 on 2:18 on the 28th of August, Vic Carucci says the Browns will make the playoffs.
They are a wild card team. I bet he's going to come back to it and say that when he said that
back
they could make the playoffs.
I told you guys.
It's called revisionist history, of course.
I told you.
Well, business.
We've told you how to get tickets since this team could make the playoffs, according to Vic. Now let me tell you how to get the apparel. Brown season is here, and the best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the new improved selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the shop at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 7 days a week, or visit shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And I tell you, I just picked up a few extra polos myself. This is good stuff here. This Nike stuff is sharp.
It is. It's awesome. And a guy who knows the Chicago Bears, knows the NFL very well, writes for the Chicago Tribune. Check out his great work there, is my buddy Brad Biggs. Brad, how you doing?
It's this afternoon.
Great to have you with us, bud. And looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night in Chicago. But want to talk about these Bears and talk about, you know, for the Browns, this is a game. Rob Chudzinski announced today basically that it's just a handful of starters who will be there. One of them will not be Brandon Weeden at quarterback. It'll be Jason Campbell. Give me a sense of the Bears' approach to this game.
The Bears are going to rest all of their starters, or if not all of them, nearly all of them tomorrow night. The plan is for the first team to watch the game. And accordingly, they've practiced the starters real hard this week. They've done a lot of work with the ones versus the ones, and just a little bit of work for the twos, kind of preparing for the game off some cards and some walkthrough stuff. But they wanted to make sure that their starters continue to get better, even though they're not going to play. So it'll be Jordan Palmer as the starting quarterback. He'll be relieved at some point by Trent Edwards, the journeyman, and maybe one of those guys has a shot to make this roster as a third quarterback. Maybe they both get let go in final cuts. But you're not going to be seeing Brandon Marshall or Matt Forte or Julius Peppers or any of the other defensive big-name players at the Bears.
Brad, Nathan Zagura here. You look at this Browns, the Chicago Bears offense. The Browns have a new offense too, but so do the Chicago Bears, a team that's ranked in the bottom six in pass attempts three straight seasons. How do you think this offense under Mark Trestman is going to end up suiting a team that looks very capable of throwing the football with Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, of course, Matt Forte out of the backfield?
Yeah, they should be much better offensively, but the one kind of thing you have to stop yourself when you say that about this Bears team is, I've been on the air with Vic before the season and multiple previous years where you're saying the same thing. You catch yourself, you're saying, well, geez, I said this last summer. I said this the year before that. And because Lovie Smith was rotating offensive coordinators in and out. So, but I believe there's a real opportunity here with Trestman. I mean, listen, there should be. That's his expertise. He's came in regarded as a quarterback guru, even though he had been out of the NFL since 2004. So if they are going to make it work with Jay Cutler in his fifth season with the Bears, things have got to begin to click this year. There's just no way around it. Cutler's in a contract year. So if Cutler can't impress the new coaching staff, can't impress the general manager, Phil Emery, who's in his second year, you're going to be looking at some major change here with the Chicago Bears in the future.
Brad Biggs joins us. He covers the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune. The Browns and Bears finishing off the preseason tomorrow night at Soldier Field. Brad, I want to ask you about Mark Trestman and a little more about the details of his influence. And the guy, it's such an interesting path, because career path, he coached in the NFL, but then spent that time in the Canadian Football League. And the book on him is that he comes in with a refreshed approach to the offense, and is just the guy that Jay Cutler needs to maybe finally find that consistency and the trust and confidence that a coach can bring the best out of him. Are you really seeing that, and have seen that this summer? And if you can break down, if so, why? Or if not, tell us why.
Well, it was sort of a rocky start in training camp. I can tell you that there were 13 days of training camp practices, and three of them began with a pick on the first play of 11-on-11. Three practices, the first play is an interception. That happened three times, and then the Bears start the preseason, and the first pass of the preseason game against the Panthers, their first opponent, was intercepted. And so you look at that and you're saying, you got to be kidding me. But the whole thing is getting, like you said, the trust that's got to be there between the quarterback and the coach, the play caller. And there's no longer these layers between Cutler and the head coach. It's Trestman who's going to be calling the offense. So it's direct interaction between Mark Trestman and Jay Cutler. And this offense is predicated on getting the ball out quickly. And that's another thing we've heard the Bears say before, too, and something that I don't know if Cutler's real comfortable doing. He's got one of the strongest arms in the National Football League, and he likes to see the receiver break open and then gun the ball in there. And so he's got to kind of break away from that. He's got to get rid of the ball quickly. They've revamped the offensive line. They feel like they're going to offer him better protection, but we've seen him hold the ball too long in preseason and take a sack. He did that against the Chargers. So it's a work in progress right now.
One guy that he never has problems getting the ball to is Brandon Marshall. Marshall talking the last couple days about his hip, saying he's not happy with where his hip is at, yet he's played in the preseason and played well. What's the latest on Brandon Marshall, and is this hip injury anything for people to really take note of?
Yeah, I think it's something that to be at least somewhat concerned about. Brandon Marshall talked yesterday about how he wasn't sure about his exact fit in the offense, and he was frustrated with his hip, which he had. He had a scope on his hip in January, guys. So we're talking 7 months ago. It was at the time, this supposed to be this real minor thing, just going to clean it up and everything will be all right. And he's still hampered by it. Marshall was not at practice today. After practice, it was announced he's got a four-day excused absence, which I haven't been doing it as long as Vic, but I've been doing it a long time. And you don't come across many four-day excused absences for players before week one of the regular season. So we tried to ask if it was related to the hip, and got some real murky replies. So I think there should be a level of concern. But I do know this. If Marshall's on the field this season, and he has played in preseason, he's fine at points of preseason. He's on the field. He should put up very big numbers for Jay Cutler once again. But I don't know exactly what to make of a four-day excused absence, because we didn't get a lot of great answers to our questions just a little while ago.
Brad Biggs is joining us, covering the Bears for the Chicago Trib. Let's talk about Matt Forte. This team made a big investment last year, a four-year, $32 million contract, and the sense was that, okay, this is going to be a defining thing, and it was a bold thing, given that this is a quarterback driven league and a passing driven league, and running backs are supposed to be less important. That deal seemed to speak otherwise to that, and especially when they get into the age of 30 and plus, and this contract, if he sees out the full thing, I think it's 31, I think he'd be, or close to it. But your sense of how he fits in this Mark Trestman scheme?
Yeah, I think Forte is going to be the focal point of the offense, and I've seen great things from him in preseason. He's averaging 10 yards a carry in the preseason. Obviously, a real small sample size here, but Forte's looked terrific. And the reason I say I believe he'll be the focal point of the offense, is when you go back to the last at least successful venture Trestman had as an assistant in the NFL, you talk about the Raiders team that went to Super Bowl 37 with an MVP quarterback and Rich Gannon and a lot of talented veteran wide receivers like Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, and they had Jerry Porter was the third receiver on that team. Mm-hmm. But one of the real interesting dynamic guys in that offense was Charlie Garner, the running back, who rushed for close to 1,000 yards, and then he had either 91 or 92 receptions out of the backfield. Now, I don't expect Forte to approach triple digits in receptions, but I think there's a great possibility that Matt Forte could have at least 60, maybe more catches out of the backfield and still run the ball successfully, too. I just think this thing's going to be tailor-made for his skills, and I know that Phil Emery, the GM, was frustrated that Forte wasn't more involved in the passing game a year ago. So that's going to be an emphasis. They felt like that was one of the reasons why they invested so much in him in terms of that contract, and I think the sky's the limit for Forte this season.
Hey, I want to ask you one more thing, Brad, regarding Mark Trestman. There was, it was an interesting strategy and really similar to some of what we've seen here in Cleveland with regard to an emphasis on players getting to know each other better, get out of the old habits of, staying in your cliques and so forth, your groups, where either your position group or friend groups, and not really getting to know your teammates and bond with your teammates. And I know one of the, small steps here, just in the cafeteria, was to eliminate those to-go styrofoam containers, which probably is good for the environment too. But put everything in plates and more or less force people, players and otherwise, front office types, coaches, to sit in the cafeteria, eat together, and that was the whole emphasis that Joe Banner wanted to see. Mark Trestman was introducing something similar to that, as I understand it, in Chicago, right? Changing up maybe the rooming assignments or whatever. Break down what that's been about and how effective it has been based on what you've seen.
Yeah, he reshuffled the deck in the locker room, and so instead of having the defensive lineman over on this side and the offensive lineman in that corner and the tight ends over there, it's all mixed up. So you've got a safety next to a center who's next to a linebacker. In terms of kind of the team bonding and getting them to know each other. And I don't know, Trestman talked about getting the group to, you want to have success for the guy next to you. And me personally, I mean, this is just my take on it. I have a little bit of a hard time buying into that. I look at, these guys I had when I was younger and I started out doing this, a guy named Roosevelt Colin, who went on to some pretty nice things with the Patriots after he was with the Bears, described it to me as 53 independent contractors, and it was, basically 53 mercenaries hired with the same goal in mind. But these guys are playing for themselves. They're playing for their family and their futures. And while they want to see the guy next to them succeed, I have a hard time personally buying into the idea that, I'm doing it for the guy with the locker next to me. I think you're doing it for yourself. But, it has been interesting to see the guys kind of interact where you have a safety talking to an old lineman at the locker instead of just the old lineman together. And we'll see maybe if that makes a difference for him. But Trestman's very much in tune with what his players are thinking, and he interacts with them. For instance, the Bears in this portion of the year, they send all the rookies to the dungeon, the basement area at Hallis Hall, simply because their locker room doesn't have enough space for 90 guys or 75 now. So all the rookies, including the draft picks, have to be down in this dungeon area until after the 53-man cuts. And Trestman's gone down there and hung out with the rookies in the dungeon. So I think that gives you sort of a glimpse of what he's trying to accomplish that's along the lines maybe of what the Browns are doing too in terms of getting everybody together as a family.
Brad, great breakdown and knowledge on this Bears team. We appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at Soldier Field, buddy.
Absolutely. Travel safe, Vic.
All right, thank you. He is Brad Biggs, covers the Browns for the Chicago Trib. It's Vic Carucci. It's Nathan Zagura. We're going to get into what some of the six-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle Joe Thomas had to say to reporters. Some interesting comments there. We'll break that down next. We'll also get into more of your tweets. We want your calls, 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you, ESPN 850 WKNR. You don't want to sleep without me, that's why I said. So done me.